I'm sure you've read all the columns. You have an incumbent with a low job approval rating, a war that's costly and not popular, bad economy, huge voter turnout. What were considered ideal conditions for the Democrats? What happened?
Well, they executed a strategy that was first and foremost based on trying to take the country's support for the president on terrorism and push that forward across the finish line. And then, you know, they executed a strategy that really revved up their base, I think, particularly on some of these social issues, those twin pillars of terrorism and getting out these so-called social values voters.
What questions are you asking yourself this weekend about the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think it's a time when everybody's doing a little bit of soul searching about what we need to do to move forward. I think that fundamentally we've got to present to the American public a compelling vision about where we think a progressive America ought to go to. Reflect back on the election. I think Senator Kerry did a very good job of critiquing where the president had failed on the economy, on health care, and on Iraq. But I think that we've got work to do in terms of projecting forward a vision of where we need to go in these major national security challenges that we have. And again, reconnecting with our middle class base that was and is the heart of progressive values and the heart of the Democratic Party.
Well, let me ask you about, since you volunteered that fact, as you say, what was our middle class base? Because I do have to ask you the question about elitism. And I don't want to take it in the direction of whether or not Senator Kerry should have gone windsurfing or whether or not he should have always worn that barn jacket. But as The Economist, which, by the way, endorsed Senator Kerry, said that the Democrats are a party that often seems ill at ease in the middle class suburbs and seems to be sneering at middle America.
Yeah, I think that's a harsh indictment. And I think it's an unfair one. I think if you think about the work that both at the congressional and presidential level, if you think about the approach that Democrats take on economic questions, on questions like raising the minimum wage, on questions like trying to provide a broader set of job opportunities for people, on health care and expanding health care for the middle class, I think that Democrats are squarely aimed at trying to improve the lives of middle class voters.
Mr. Podesta, can the Democratic Party figure out a way to win a couple of southern states, or do they have to figure out a way to win without any southern states?
No, I think that one of the most, you know, profound challenges that the party faces is that they have to broaden the playing field. You cannot cede that wide swath of southern states and the whole center of the country to the Republicans and expect to be a competitive national party.
If I might ask you this, finally, provocatively, is Senator Clinton now the most prominent national Democrat?
Well, I think she's clearly the most prominent national Democrat. If you look at the polls that come out in the wake of this election, she's the best known. If you're asking me, what does that mean for 2008? I think that, you know, time will tell. I think after President Clinton was reelected in 1996. You know, probably no one thought that George W. Bush would get elected in 2000. So, you know, a lot can happen over the course of 4 years. But she, you know, is a smart, articulate person who, you know, who gets both policy and politics, has been quite an effective senator in New York and is well known and has a tremendous following around the country.
Mr. Podesta, thanks very much.
It's good to be with you, Scott.
John Podesta, president of the Center for American Progress.